Since why we ought to feel encouraged, and when we have an opportunity that we could come out from living among people who are worldly and sinful, and to be among those of like precious faith, people who share together a common interest, common salvation, common goal of going to heaven when life is over. And so that's encouraging to me. And then to be able to see each one of you, knowing that you're here, that you're physically able to be here. Some of you don't feel well, but you come in spite of that. So that's encouraging. You know, sometimes I think individuals just listen to folks, think that they really don't have anything to offer to other people. But just the fact that you ready yourself and you come through the door is an encouragement to other people. Your presence is an encouragement. Just to see you and lay eyes on you is an encouragement to other people. And so all of us have something that we can offer to others. And so I'm happy to be with you, and I'm thankful and grateful to have another opportunity to stand before you, and just for a little while this evening, won't be long, to open up the pages of the Bible and study a couple or three, a little bit more, perhaps things from its contents. I appreciate the visitors with us. It's good to have you with us, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us every opportunity you have. I put a question on the board this evening, very simple question. Why did Edom fall? Do you ever think about reading about Edom in the Bible and then studying about and learning about why this group of people fell? Well, the Bible tells us why they fell. And as we continue our study that we've been doing from time to time on some major lessons from the minor prophets, we have talked about Hosea and Joel and Amos, and now we get to the book of Obadiah. A very short book in the Old Testament, one chapter long. Doesn't take you long at all to read it. But the whole thrust of the book is written toward a group of people called the Edomites. And the fact that God is going to bring them into judgment, He's going to bring judgment upon them. And He really gives us, among some other things perhaps, but at least two major reasons as to why they were not right in the sight of God. And that's going to be two lessons. We've been trying to take two lessons from each book, though many more lessons could be taken from each book. But at least two. And we'll have two lessons from this one chapter book, Obadiah. And the first lesson we're going to talk about tonight is one of the reasons why they fail. You know, the Edomites are not really talked about a whole lot in the Bible. There's a few things said about them. We certainly learned some things about who they were. Like, for example, the book of Genesis, chapter 36, verses 8 and 9, teaches us that the Edomites were descendants of Esau. Esau was a father of the Edomites, the Bible says in that passage. And so they were relatives of the Israelites. They were relatives of Jacob and his descendants, the nation of Israel. And so when you get over to verse 10 of Obadiah, it makes sense then when the Bible refers to the Edomites as brethren of Jacob. When He says, "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." One of the problems that Edom has is a problem that many times we might have. And that's the one that I want us to talk about for just a little while this evening, and that is the sin of pride. We've heard some lessons that touched on that this previous week in our gospel meeting, which again I appreciate so much. I'm still encouraged because of that meeting when I think about those wonderful lessons that were done each and every night. Five wonderful speakers that did just a fantastic job opening up the Bible and proclaiming just simple lessons from the Bible. That doesn't mean that the work that they put into it was simple, but that the lessons were so easily understood and really easily applicable to our lives. But there's a real present danger of God's people being lifted up with pride. Now, when we think about pride, we think about people in the world. But we can fall victims of pride if we're not careful. Again, I want us to begin with verse 1 and just read through the Scripture reading again. Not that Ethan did not do a good job, he did a great job, but I just want for emphasis to have that in our mind as we think about what led to the fall of the Edomites. The vision of Obadiah, and Obadiah by the way, means a servant of Jehovah. And certainly he was a prophet of God. But the vision of Obadiah, thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor or a report, the New King James Version would say. We've heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador or a messenger is sent among the heathen. Arise ye and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. Now watch verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high. What saith, or that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Now let's stop there for just a moment. Here was a group of people who had allowed themselves to be lifted up in their own minds, saying, who shall bring us down? We're so greatly fortified. We make our dwellings in the clefts of the rock. Surely no one can get to us. I think I mentioned to you before, I've never been to the Middle East, but I'd love to go sometime before my earthly pilgrimage is over. But one of the places that I would absolutely love to see with my own eyes, among so many others, is the city of Petra. And I'd encourage you maybe to go home, and there's so many good resources that you can look at online as you think about and you study about, and you just view some really excellent pictures of this city called Petra, one of the cities of the Edomites. It is a city that is basically carved out in rock. The great treasury, one of the places that as you walk through the cleft in the rock, a very narrow, it's called a sick, I believe is how you pronounce it. I'm not sure. S-I-K is how it's spelled. But a very narrow opening in order to get to the city, and then it opens up into an expanse in these beautiful buildings that are hand-carved in rock. Red buildings. The rock is red. And very high. And so this was a very fortified place. No doubt they were prideful over their physical strength, over their strategic location, and their tremendous wealth, being a very prosperous, materialistically city. But yet they had been prideful about this, and then they were saying, who shall bring me down to the ground? I tell you, any plan that we make that does not include God is to no avail. Doesn't matter how much we prosper, it doesn't matter how much a nation is fortified, it doesn't matter how much a nation is strong, how much their military might is, if it doesn't include God. It's to no avail, because we'll be brought into judgment for everything that we do. And I think all of us understand that. So they ask a question in their heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? And watch verse 4. Though thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among the stars. When you think about Petra and you look at those carvings and how high they were in the face of the cliffs and so forth, that would make a little bit more sense. Now watch this. Thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Folks, an individual who thinks that they are so high and mighty is not too high to be brought down by the Lord. And that was one of Edom's problems. That wasn't their only problem, because really the next part of the book, really mainly the gist of the entire book from here on out, all the way basically to verse 17, is their treatment toward their brethren, Israel. You say, well, what did they do? Well, among other things, they did not allow Israel to cross through their land as they were making their way to the land that God had promised them. You read that in Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 through 21. But they were prideful. One of the things that we must be, one of the characteristics that we must have, is humility. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But pride means arrogance. Arrogance. The original word is used in 11 verses in the Old Testament. The word pride, rather. 53 verses in the Bible in the Old Testament except for 3. And so it's a good word study not only to look up the word pride in the Bible, but then the original word that the word pride came from. Haughtiness, presumptuousness, arrogance, pride. I want us to notice real briefly some things that the Bible says about pride. Oh, is it really that bad? Well, ask the Edomites if it was bad. It's one of the reasons that they failed. Because of the prideful heart that they had. The first one I want you to think about is the fact that it is evil. 3 points can be made concerning how bad pride is from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 22 and 23. So I invite you to open your Bibles and think about the things that the Lord discusses in Mark chapter 7, verse 22. Let's back up to verse 20. That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. It's making the point, it's not what goes in, eating with unwashed hands and so forth. But that which comes out is that which defiles a man. Then he's going to get specific about what he's talking about. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Now watch verse 23. All these evil things come from within man and defile the man. And so with that passage, we learn at least 3 things concerning pride and the other things that the Lord talks about. That it's evil, comes from within. That means it originates from within, comes from the heart, and it defiles. It's sinful. And then we also learn from the Bible that pride is worldly. God doesn't desire for us to be prideful, arrogant, haughty, lifted up, high-minded. God desires us to be humble. But pride is worldly, we read in 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 16. When he talks about the lust of the eye and the pride of life. It's of the world. And not from the Father. Then also we understand from Psalm chapter 10 and in verse 2 that pride leads to the oppression, the persecution of others. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. So a lot of individuals persecute other people as a result of the prideful attitude that they have. Not thinking about other people, not putting the interest of others above the interest of self. It accompanies shame, Proverbs 11 and in verse 2. When pride cometh, there cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Pride leads to contention, infighting, bickering, fighting, argumentation. Hostility. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And I think about Daniel chapter 5 and in verse 20. You remember about reading about Nebuchadnezzar, a man who was lifted up in pride, and as a result of that, his kingdom was taken away from him until he reached a time in which he would realize that the God of heaven rules in the kingdoms of men, and he sets up over those kingdoms who he will. Like father, like son. And son didn't learn the lesson. And as a result of that, was deceived. His heart was hardened in pride. Daniel 5, verse 20. But when his heart was lifted up in his mind, hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne. And they took his glory from him. Now when you come back to the book of Obadiah, you learn another key thing about pride. And that is, pride deceives. Notice again in verse 3. The pride of thine heart hath what? Hath deceived thee. It'll blind an individual from seeing really who they are. I think about those of Laodicea in the book of Revelation who thought that they were well off, but they weren't. So you don't understand that. You're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But they didn't see themselves the way that the Lord was seeing them. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach unto any people. Proverbs 14 and in verse 34. So pride is one of the things that led to the downfall of the Edomites. Come over with me to the book of Numbers chapter 20. And as we get a glimpse, and we'll talk about this Again, when we discuss the second lesson, which was their treatment, their mistreatment of their brethren. I want you to notice what the Bible records for us in Numbers chapter 20, verses 14 beginning. We'll read maybe down to verse 21. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the kingdom of Edom, unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. Our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time. The Egyptians vexed us, oppressed us, and our fathers. And when we cried unto the Lord, He heard our voice, and sent an angel, and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Now they didn't ask for much. They really were just asking to cross through the land. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink of the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand or the left until we have passed thy borders. And Edom said unto him, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. If we drink any of your water, we'll pay for it. We just want to pass by. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border, wherefore Israel turned away from him. Can you imagine that? We're just wanting to pass through. We're not going to bother anything. We're not going to touch anything. If we drink any water, we'll pay for it. We're not going to sit here and use your land. We just want to use it to pass through. We're not going to sit here and try to take it from you. But you can't pass through. And Edom refused to do that. Prideful group of people. Inconsiderate of their brethren, their relatives. And as a result of that, they were not right in the sight of God. And He's going to address that later on in the book of Obadiah. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that have to do with us? Pride and arrogant look, haughtiness is one of the things that the Bible says God abhors, that God does not like. When you read in Proverbs chapter 6, begin with verse 16. The book of James chapter 4 and in verse 10, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift thee up. Except we have humility, we'll never see our need to obey the Lord. It'll deceive us, it'll blind us into realizing that we've got to, in humility, submit to the will of God. I think about what the Lord said, how He taught it and how He illustrated it in Matthew chapter 18, begin with verse 1. When He wanted to get the point across about humility, remember what He did? Took a child, set the child in the midst of them. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The humbleness of a child, the willingness of a child to submit to parents, a greater authority. We've got to learn that lesson. I think about the humility that was displayed by our Lord as talked about in Philippians chapter 2. When He talks about the fact that we need to be interested in the needs of others, look not every man on the things of self, but the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He talks about what the Lord did. Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 5. It's really one of the central statements, one of the central statements or teachings of the book of Philippians. Book that is filled. It's only four chapters, but yet you learn four very good lessons, all of them Christ-centered, and one of them comes from chapter 2 and in verse 5. Let this mind be in you, Christ, the attitude of life, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I'm not humble, I won't obey the Lord because I'm too absorbed with self. Don't see the need to do what God would have me to do. Don't see the need to even have God in my life because look what I have anyway. Look what these hands have provided for self. Though thou dwellest in the clefts of the rock and say, who can bring me down? God says, I'll bring you down. We'll fall. And there's a lot of other things that could be said about pride and about humility. We won't serve one another. If we don't have the humble disposition that says, what does someone else need? I've got needs too, and I'm tired, and I've got some things I'm interested in. But if we're just absorbed on self, we won't see the need to help others in the way that they might need to be healed. Don't be prideful, haughty, arrogant, high-minded. Think soberly, righteously, and so forth. So we read about in Titus chapter 2 and in verse 11 and following. What led to the downfall of Edom? Pride. Can it cause us to fall today? It sure can. Be lowly, of a humble disposition, and obey the Lord. You may be in the assembly today, not a Christian. You may say, preacher, what must I do to be saved? You got to do what the Bible says to do. And in order to do that, you're going to have to be humble. You're going to have to submit to the will of God and not to the will of self. Romans chapter 6, verses 16 through 18 addresses that. You got to do what they did in New Testament times to obey the gospel. That is to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17, believe it, John 8:24, repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. Romans 10:10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2 and in verse 38. Have you done that? It's the only way you can become a Christian. You may be here tonight and you may be saying, well, preacher, I thought I was a Christian, but I didn't do that. Well, then I have to tell you kindly but firmly, you're not a Christian. And I don't mean that to be mean, but I'd rather you realize that now is to be able to do something about it while your life still is than to die lost. And you can't do anything about it. Now's the time to do something about it. Well, preacher, I've done that in the past, but I've not been faithful as I should. Well, you realize that. You want to come home? Do something about it. Be restored to faithfulness. 1 John 1, verse 9. Repent of those things. Make confession to God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. If you're subject to the call, come right now.